The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Well, hi, this is Jeff Galloway. You are listening to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 196 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and touringplans.com, and with me on the show today for show 196 is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
I'm fine.
That's good. So we have a lot of announcements. I think we should just jump right in. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Let's do, since I made a list here. Well, the first one is that, as you know, our 200th episode, our baby is turning 200, Mike. And it's coming up very soon. And we're gathering a lot of really cool audio files where people are calling in and answering the question, how has running Disney changed your life? So I'm really excited. I know that you're going to produce the show. We're also going to have some guests coming on, too. But if you would like to add your two cents and you want to call in and tell us how running Disney has changed your life, the number is 407-545-2141, and it's you just leave a message, and we will put you on the show. It should be between about 1 and 3 minutes.
Right. Leave a message after you call 407-545-2141. Let us know how Run Disney has changed your life, and if you'd like, please feel free to give us a show opening so that you can hear yourself on the show.
Yeah, you can even do it as part of the same call. We can split it up.
Run Disney has changed my life. I am now, 100 years, I can do this, I can do that. And by the way, this is Mickey Mouse from Kissimmee, Orlando, Florida, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles podcast.
Right. So that's one of our announcements, and we already have quite a few, so I'm looking forward to hearing what people say. And the next announcement is that I will be going to the Dumbo Double Dare weekend at Disneyland. Unfortunately, Mike will not be there, but our buddy Eddie McCoy and I are going to be hosting some meetups that weekend. The first one is on August 30th, and that's going to be at the Territory Lounge at the Grand Californium. And that is going to be... have you ever been to that lounge? I had tea there.
That's the only thing I might have.
We're going to meet there on Saturday at 11:30 on August 30th. And already we have about 17 people going to that meet, so hope we can see you there. And the next one is going to be after the half marathon. That's going to be on August 31st, and this is going to be the post-race ice cream and pirates meetup. We're going to meet at 3 p.m. at the Gilson Girls. Is it Gilson Girls? The Gilson Girls Ice Cream Parlor. And, Gibson Girls. And Mike, you and I did this for two different races when we were there. We met up with some buddies, sat on the curb, had a great ice cream cone.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went and rode pirates together. So that's going to be August 31st at 3 p.m. So you can RSVP on our Mickey Miles Facebook page. We hope to see you there.
That's right.
And the last announcement is we have sort of a teaser. We're working on some magic.
And Michelle, listen, you hear that music? That sort of is a clue regarding when we're going to have something very special. And I guess we'll be announcing it soon. So everyone listen and be very, very...
we have an event.
Yes, for some special weekend. And I'm not going to announce the weekend, but... I think this music kind of gives everybody a clue as to what weekend that is.
And
huh?
We're working with probably the person who we know does the best job at making magic for other people, Becky from MEI and Mouse Film Travel.
She makes the impossible possible. She makes
it's
the impossible.
Kind of fun to do the impossible.
So hold on. Let me fade off this music. Let me fade it, fade it, fade it, fade it, fade it. All right, now
somebody
we can go on.
Somebody likes his production.
Yes.
To do his production.
Yes.
All right, so we got the call-in. Leave your message. We got the Dumbo Double Dare Weekend Meets. We got something else coming around the corner. Whew, I'm tired. Is that the end of the podcast?
Shout out.
Oh, a shout out. Yes, thank you, thank you. Where's my shout out paper? I have never given a shout out to this person. He posts every once in a while, but he always comes to our meets, and he's super supportive of the podcast. And I like talking to him because he has a lot of institutional knowledge about Run Disney events. And his name is Robert Sparks, and he is an astronomer, and he runs a lot of Disney events. So he's a scientist and just a great fellow. So, Robert, we give you a shout-out.
Looking forward to seeing you pretty soon, Robert.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what are we doing today, Mike?
We're doing questions, and as I move... in place to read the questions, I am ready, and I think that you should be first.
All right, so the first question is from our buddy Terry Mann from Nashville, Tennessee. And he says, perhaps this is more of a show topic than just a quick question, but I always seem to struggle with carb loading while at Walt Disney World. I tried the Disney Pasta Party one year, but I'm not a fan. The obvious restaurants, Il Molino, Tutto Italia, etc., are clearly good options. But do you have any other recommendations for, say, strolling around World Showcase or within the other parks? I find that the No Way Jose works just fine for me before the half. I'm semi-joking. But I'm doing Goofy this year, and I need to get serious about it. I don't want to be hiking to the Hess station for bagels. All right. Mike, do you want to tackle that one?
Okay, Terry. I can tell you that I've talked with my son about carbo loading. He's a trainer, and he has often said that it's one of those things where unless you're doing an Atkins diet, you know, you really shouldn't worry because normally everyone's diet has more than enough carbs. Sure, you're going to be burning a lot when you're running, especially if you're going to be doing Goofy. But, you know, about a week before you have the race, you know, start thinking about maybe doing a little bit of carbo loading, I guess. If you're eating normally, I mean, there are carbs all over the place. Have pancakes in the morning. You know, maybe you can eat a little bit more bread than you want, a pasta, whatever. I would not worry about it. It's normal for all of us to take in more than enough carbs. Again, if you're doing Atkins, that's a different story. But I would say just do your normal touring and your normal snacking, and I think you'll be okay. Sure, you may want to indulge a little bit more in a snack here and there, but I wouldn't worry about it.
So do you want to give him some recommendations for your favorite? Actually, we're going to talk about this on a podcast.
Well, Terry, you know I like Dole Whip. There are carbs in ice cream. Dole Whip I like. I would say that whenever you go to any restaurant, you know, add that appetizer, especially if there's if you're going to, you mentioned Il Molino, maybe you should have the bruschetta as an appetizer. Pasta is okay. I like, what is that place on Boardwalk, Michelle, that we usually eat at, outside?
Peaches and Cream?
No, the outside.
Oh, the brewery? Is that the place? Big River Grill.
Big River Grill.
Yeah.
Terry, you may want to try that. They have some really good pasta and chicken dishes that are good there. I also like the Southern Flight Lager beer. yeah, beer is good too, you know.
Not
the night before a race, but yeah. A couple of days before.
Yep.
So I would try that. In Epcot, I would suggest Tutto Italia. Via Napoli, have some pizza. Again, just treat it like a normal kind of a vacation, and I think you should be fine. Don't be afraid to have a cookie now and then, and you know, a little snack. Yeah, I think you'll be fine, Terry.
All right. I'm going to say one word. My favorite place to go in carb load, Boma. B Boma Breakfast.
Ah, yes.
Boma Breakfast is awesome for carb loading. I said carb. I'm all mixed up. That's where I would go. But he's talking about walking around the parks. Where would you go if you were in World Showcase? I might get a pretzel in Germany. I'm not really sure. I personally need to avoid greasy foods, especially before a race. So I wouldn't do anything like a churro or anything like that. And I wouldn't do like fish and chips. But I probably would go for ice cream in France or that pretzel in Germany.
Okay.
But Boma has to be my favorite if we're not talking about in the parks.
The thing is, Terry, there's a stand right near where the Millennium Village is in United Kingdom, and they usually have some very good little pastries there. You could check that out. Michelle mentioned France, that new area in the back, France, you could check out there.
Behind the ice cream, new ice cream stores, the pastries.
Yeah, I'm not gonna attempt the title of that place. back there, the pretzels in Germany.
What about other parks?
In other parks, the Magic Kingdom. There are a couple places you could go throughout. A hot dog from Casey's.
There's ice cream on Main Street.
Ice cream on Main Street. You can go in the new Fantasyland. There's that circus area that you go inside.
That's a good idea.
They have some nice little treats in there. When you go to the studios on Sunset Boulevard, Starring Rolls would be a place I would try.
Good idea.
A place along there. Again, you can get a little pizza over there at the I forget the name of that area. It's like a food court area. places like that. Go into the bookstore near Streets of America, about the book or whatever it's called.
Writer or something.
Yeah.
So we're not being very specific, but I'm sure he knows if he's a Disney fan. And I just say Boma. Boma Breakfast is so fun. And what's the type of punch they have? Is it French?
French, yes.
Yeah, you can get the special juice there. And I just think all sorts of yummy, healthy things.
And Terry, my final suggestion, and you've probably heard me mention this many times, it's one of the best values on the property.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say.
Trails End for breakfast. My God. Very, very, and the price, the atmosphere, very good stuff, especially for breakfast.
I'm a little less wild by that than you are, but I would spend my money at Boma. But it is good. It is good, and you could do Chef Mickey's too.
That's true.
All right, you ready for the second question?
Second question comes, and boy, this another dining, well, sort of an eating dining question. It comes from Susie Serfoss, who says, I'm coming to Orlando with my husband to run my first marathon. Good for you, Susie. While I'm very excited and a little nervous, I'm struggling with figuring out the best place and time to eat on Saturday prior to the race and post-race on Sunday for a fun celebratory meal. We are not planning on visiting the parks this trip as the focus is the marathon. So that knocks out quite a few restaurants. I would appreciate any guidance you could offer this Walt Disney World Marathon rookie. Thank you for the great podcast that fills my ears during my training runs. Okay, Michelle, I'll let you tackle this first.
Yeah, I love this because she's not going to the park. So that opens up a whole bunch of different options. So pre-race, I already said for the second one, the first question we talked about Boma, that I really like Boma. I'm trying to think where else I would go for pre-race. I would avoid, lately a lot of my favorite restaurants, Sanaa, those types of things might be a little bit too spicy, but there's so many great places to eat at the resorts. How about Kona Cafe? That has a great breakfast too. I would definitely, you're going to eat your big breakfast the day before the marathon and then taper down as the day goes on. And so I would focus on breakfast being, the most spectacular meal for that day. Another place that I've gone to with you quite a few times, Mike, is Mediterranean Fresh over at the Dolphin.
Yes.
Really nice breakfast over there. And doesn't seem like it's really well known, but lots of really nice juices, and they make you omelets, and also it's small. We saw Marty Sklar there once, didn't we? While we were just sitting there, just eating breakfast by himself. So,
but he didn't bother me, so
yeah, that was nice of him. So that's what I would do. Those are my suggestions for pre-race. Post-race, my favorite restaurant, hands down, I've probably mentioned it before, is Flying Fish. That's really special. However, when I was at Disney a few weeks ago, I sat at the chef's, not really the chef's table, but the place that they make the flatbread pizza at Gico. And it didn't cost any extra money. And what a great experience that was. That was such a wonderful, I sat there with my friend Barry, and we just had a lovely, like, two-hour dinner with the people making flatbread pizza and salads, the chefs talking to us. And that just felt really special. It was a really wonderful time. So that would be a place that I would recommend. Michael. Pre and post.
Okay, so one of the things I'm going to talk about right
now. I would just say make reservations.
Oh, yes. So, Susie, you want to be able to control as much as possible what you're going to be consuming the day before. And that means you want to control your portions, and you also want to control what you're eating. So my suggestion is not to go to a sit-down, but go to a buffet where you can control not just what you eat, but how much. You don't want to get too much on your plate. You know how much you like to eat. You know what you like to eat. You know what's good. You want to avoid salads that Saturday. You want to avoid, like Michelle said, anything spicy. So Sanaa, I would not suggest going to. I would suggest taking a look at all the restaurants that are outside the parks that offer a buffet opportunity, and that is Trails End that we mentioned previously already on this podcast. Boma, Michelle mentioned Boma. Chef Mickey's, right off the bat. There is a restaurant in the Swan, it's called Garden Grove, that you may want to try also at night or during the day.
That's a nice celebration because that's a buffet, right?
That's a buffet.
With a different theme every night.
And again, the whole idea here is that you want to control it before you run. So by that I'm saying, Breck, I think you should spread out the meals on that Saturday. And nothing really big. Eat three meals that day, or at least, or maybe even six small meals. I would do that. You know what your system prefers just before a race. Some of us don't like to have anything in our stomachs before a race. Others need a little something. So that has to come into the equation as well. As far as for a celebratory race, I'm with Michelle on Flying Fish. I think Flying Fish would be great. I think Sanaa would be great. Again, keeping with the idea that you're not going to be in the parks, I would say the Garden Grove is another place. Kona, you may want to think of Kona. You may want to think of, although things have been changing in Ohana, you may want to think of Ohana. And one more that I have found that I kind of like a little bit more than in the past is The Wave at the Contemporary. I think that's a good place too. So
well, that's a nice atmosphere in there.
So I think you try those. Again, you want to make sure that you know exactly what works for you before and after a race. And as Michelle said, once you decide where you're going to go, make your reservations as soon as possible.
All right. So, Susie, if you have more specifics in terms of types of food that you like, then we can give you some other suggestions if you want to write back. And perhaps folks can write what they like on the Mickey Miles Facebook page. The next question is from another scientist buddy, a geologist friend, Carl Friedrichs. And he says, it's a question about the Mickey Miles podcast team, the Mickey Milers. Thanks for all your great work and the Mickey Miles community and the joy and inspiration you provide to so many people. Aww, that's nice. I was wondering what my wife and I can do to join the team roster. We've joined the team via the instructions and joined the Facebook group and received our t-shirts and raised $50 each for Give Kids the World. And so I just thought this was a great question to have because there have been some questions about how to join the team, what you need to do, so I thought I would go over it.
Sure.
If that's okay.
Feel free.
So to join the team, what you do is you go on mickeymilespodcast.com/join-us, and you join the team, and that will put you on the roster. It takes a few days for your name to show up on the roster. Our buddies Phil and Eve have set it up so that you're on there, but it does take a few days, and you can see everybody else is on the team. Right after that, you have to sign up for your team, your individual page under the Mickey Miles team on Give Kids the World. And you have to raise $50 for Give Kids the World in the upcoming year to be on the team. After that, we'll put you on the Facebook page. And recently, we've changed the privacy level of the Facebook page because we had about a third of the people who were on that page who weren't signed up for the team. So if you cannot find the page, just send me a note at michelle@mickeymilespodcast.com and I will add you after you've gone ahead and signed up. So since he's written this email, Carl and his wife Margie have already done all the things that they needed to do. But Mike, we have now about 290 people on the team, signed up for the team. About 230 of those people are on Facebook. And I have to say, it is a great community, very supportive people. Any question that you have about Disney races, running, shirts, nutrition, pretty much cookies, anything you want to know, people talk about on that. So we would love to have more people join us. And the special event that we talked about earlier, the Mickey Milers, those who are on the team, are going to get first crack at tickets for that event. So, yee.
That's right. And Colin, Marjay are already on. They're on the roster now.
Oh,
I
good.
Just checked. Yep,
good.
They're on there. So, welcome.
Yeah.
Wow, 288.
That's awesome. And Mike's dream is to have
1,000.
1,000, yeah. We'll see.
1,000.
But I mean, just think of that, 288 people each raising $50 for Give Kids the World, at least. So,
wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have time for one more? How many? 1, 2, 3, 4 on our fourth question? Go ahead, Mike.
Fourth question comes from Kay, who asks the question regarding the Disneyland 10K. She says, I am preparing to do the Disneyland 10K. It's her very first Run Disney event and first major running event. And she says, I'll be doing the 10K with two friends, and we will be doing a mix of running and walking. I've been looking at some photos online of the previous year's race and also looking over the course. And it looks like there are a number of areas where crowds tend to bottleneck. What would be the best strategy for dealing with this bottleneck area? Areas. Presumably most people slow down in these areas, so would it be better to move to the edges and use these areas as our walk breaks? Also, when first starting out, do you recommend running or walking? We are all going to be relatively slow runners, so we are considering whether to run straight out of the start gate or if it would be easier to power walk out of the corral and then start running when the crowds open up a bit. We are planning to stick together, but we want to avoid blocking other faster runners so we don't plan on running three across everywhere. Michelle,
these are great questions, Kay. These are great, great questions. The first one is about bottlenecking. So there are going to be places, unless you're way, way in the front or way, way in the back, they're going to be, you know, most of the people are going to be in the you know, the middle area, and there's going to be bottlenecks. So some places you're just not going to be able to avoid the bottlenecks, so I would try to stay in the middle as much as possible. One of the ways that I avoid bottlenecks is I try to carry at least one bottle of my own water so that I can drink when I want to drink. And so when I get to a drink stop, a water stop, I go in the middle and I get through one of the bottlenecks and I just fill up with water later on down the line when I run out of water. But for the bottlenecks, I would try to stay in the middle. So should we go? Do you want to answer that question? Then we'll go to her next question, Mike.
Sure.
Bottlenecks.
It's funny because I was going to say, I stay on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it's just I feel safer on the side. I think it's because if I'm on either side, I have to worry only about one side of being bumped or worrying about people, you know. Whereas the other side, I've got barrier or whatever. So if I'm in the middle, I got to worry about both sides of me. And I'm always worried about people running into me running into people or whatever. So I say the side, but, I think it's a coin flip either way.
Mm. I think, and it probably depends on the particular bottleneck. Because
yeah.
I could see a case for staying on the side. Like, you know, when you're driving and you're you're the slower driver, and then people passing you on the left. But I think it depends on if you're running or walking during those bottlenecks, too. Like, if I were walking, I would stay on the side. If I were running, I would stay in the middle.
I know that in most of the time, I do find myself in the middle. So, and maybe it's because I don't do enough planning, but there's not much you can do about it. I think one of the things you have to worry about with the bottlenecks is you don't want to step on someone, or you always want to see what's going on around your feet. I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it depends on what you're doing and what's going on in the bottleneck area too. But I think if I were walking, I would stay over to the right as much as possible. All right, so she's wondering also, when first starting out, do you recommend running or walking? So why don't you tackle that one first?
Well, when Jeff's the Galloway method is run, walk, run. So you run first, and then you walk, and then you run. But it's very difficult when you're in a race situation with everybody starting off, everybody exciting, everybody runs. And the last several races I've done, Michelle, Run Disney and Non-Run Disney, as much as I may say, okay, I'm going to do 30 seconds of running, 15 seconds of walking, I end up probably running for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I do that. I think it's because there's so many people, I don't want to get trampled or whatever. So I tend to run for the first couple of minutes. I'm not sure if that's the way I should do it. It's something that goes against what Jeff says, because Jeff says, if you take care of your run, walk, run early on, then you're going to be saving a lot of energy in the tank that you're going to need later on. So what I'm saying, Kay, is I would recommend that you start your run, but if you know how you're going to do your run, walk, run, then as soon as you can, get into your walk. Worry about yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Michelle?
So, you know, it's interesting. I think when I ran the Boston Marathon, they would have us in corrals, and then they would have us in waves. So wave one, wave two, wave three. And I think the wave is very aptly named, because you feel like you are in a wave of people. And just like when you're in the ocean and the wave is pushing you forward, I think that's what happens when you cross over that start line, is you feel that there's just a push forward because everybody else is running. And I agree with you, Mike, that I get caught up in what's going on in the race, and I tend to run faster and I run longer than it is on my race plan at the beginning of races. You're just so excited and you see so many other people running. But I've said it before on the podcast that you have to stick to what your race plan is. And my mantra is always, I need to run my race. I need to run my race. I need to run. So you have to kind of put yourself in a little cone, you know, talk to your buddies who you're going to be walking and running with, and talk about what your plan is. And so I would, whatever you're training, doing training, that's what I would try to start to do on your race, the race day. You may find that you're going a little bit faster and you're running a little bit longer, but as soon as you can click into what your race plan is and what you've been training at, that's what I would recommend that you do. So I also commend Kay, because it sounds like they want to stick together, but they don't want to do the three across, and you know that doing that will avoid bottlenecks. So one plan that you can do is when you see it's going to be narrow. Mike and I actually do this when we run together on the rail trail. Sometimes there are bikers. One of us will go forward and one of us will go behind. So we're still together, but we're in a line together. So that's what I'd recommend, that you talk to your buddies about, you know, who's going to go first, who's going to go second, and then when it opens up, you can go across together again. Mike?
There are a lot of things that people should always try to think about before they're doing a race like this. And I commend you for really putting a lot of thought into it. Think about how you're going to run the race, and think about when you will need to be behind one another, so that you won't be part of the crew that create some of the bottlenecks. I really would like to see that you try as best as you can to finish the race, run across the finish line, the three of you together. One of the other things I want to suggest is, as you're running, try to run as straight a line as possible. Don't zigzag, because you use up a lot of energy, and at the end of the race, instead of running a 10K, you may run a 10K plus, and you want to try to avoid that. So good luck, and let us know how you make out.
Great. Do we have time for one more, Mike?
I think we have time for one more.
Okay. So this is from our buddy Richard Ehrenheim, and he and Holly, his wife Holly, are friends of the show. And he says, "Hey, Mike and Michelle, I haven't spoken to you guys in a while, and I wanted to say hi and congrats again on Boston and the Heartbreak Hill Half. Holly and I had a few ideas we wanted to share with you guys to see what you think. First is team buttons for the Mickey Milers when we run in costume so we can rep the team. When we ran for Team Ronald McDonald House, charities did this and it worked out well. I know a lot of us may still want to run a race or two in costume, even though our jerseys are pretty awesome." That's a good idea. Maybe we'll think about that. Talk mm-hmm. about our that with our Mickey Miles team mm-hmm. Buddies and see what they think. Look into that as an option. The second is a potential show topic. The topic is that to have Disney races from the perspective of a wheelchair racer. It's an interesting topic to me, and I've never had the opportunity to meet a wheelchair racer, and I think it's a cool part of Disney races. And you know, this is a good idea. I don't think we know anybody who is a wheelchair racer for Disney, but I, for the Boston Marathon, a few times I've gotten to meet the 10-time Boston Marathon wheelchair racer Ernst van Dijk from mm-hmm. South Africa, and he's fascinating to talk to. So, and he's part of the Spalding team, so that might be somebody interesting that we could get on the show, but I think that's a great idea. So we will take those two under consideration.
Yes, we will.
Mike, anything to add?
You know, I'm glad Richard wrote us, because I'm starting to think of other things besides team buttons. I keep my thoughts to myself.
Well, we have sweaty bands.
We have sweaty bands, but
Mike, you don't have any sweaty bands.
No, I don't have sweaty bands, okay. Although I do sweat.
And you play in a band.
And I play in a band, yes.
No, you don't.
So I think that I'll...
we'll think about
it. Yeah, I think I am. Yeah, I'm really thankful. So thanks for the letter, Richard. Yeah, you got me
Mike,
thinking, Rich.
Zone?
You got me
Come
thinking.
Back,
yeah,
Mike.
You got me thinking.
Mike, you're thinking about our special event with Becky from MEI Travel?
Oh, no. Here comes that music again. I'm thinking that. I think we better wrap this up, because otherwise the music is going to probably... I have a feeling that this music's going to take us out.
All right. We're going to announce that soon. And
yes.
Thank you to everybody who wrote in.
Thank you for writing in. Music is coming. Thank you, and we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality of vacation homes for your next Walt Disney World vacation, especially if you are looking for luxury, convenience, and above all, affordability. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com. And by MEI-Travel and Mousefan Travel, serving the Disney community for over 15 years with expert advice and fee-free services to help you maximize your vacation dollar and time. Give them a try at MEI-Travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.